Blog Talk Radio.
Sites where people were falling asleep at the wheel, and
Yeah, that'd be kind of scared to follow the people in a nuclear plant.
There were all kinds of problems. Not at the nuclear plant, but in a, it wasn't the nuclear plant. It was the, it wasn't a nuclear plant. It was the actual nuclear sites where they launched nuclear missiles.
Mm.
They found them asleep at the wheel. Yeah.
It's a little bit scary.
Oh, God. Life is tough sometimes, you know? It just doesn't work. Certain things just don't work the way you want them to.
Right, you gotta watch it when you use your computer.
I know. Can't find it now. So anyway. I gotta get this kind of thing that doesn't make those clicking sounds. Maybe a better, There they are, headlines. Thank you. Yeah. Anyway, let's go through some more headlines. Obamacare threatens substitute teachers.
Well,
what do you think of that?
That's not so good.
Poor little substitute guys can't even get a break on this one. This was down in someplace here. Political left claims that virtually all of its big government policies exist to create a brighter future for the next generation. Despite the rampant waste and fraud found with the public school system, these politicians constantly call for more education spending to provide a firm foundation for the nation's youth.
For all the posturing on the issue, one law will have a widespread effect on the school system, likely resulting and even less effective learning experiences for students. Among the latest evidence of this trend is found in Bristol, Virginia school district, which recently announced that Obama mandates are causing them to reconsider how substitute teachers are hired and dispatched. The city school board met Monday to discuss possibly reaching out to an employment agency to provide substitutes, since hiring them directly could cost substantially more when the health care law is fully implemented. Superintendent Mark Leinberg described the situation as a tough decision, explaining that the part-time teachers will create a financial burden on the district under Obamacare. Costs are going up for part-time employees with the Affordable Health Care Act, and substitutes fall under that, he said. We are trying to figure out whether it's best to keep them or to outsource them to a company who deals with substitute teachers as temporary workers. About 35 substitutes currently work for the district, and when the school board finally makes the decision, could soon be unemployed. Furthermore, those teachers have a unique connection to the school district that temporary employees would not be able to match. A number of board members voiced concerns about the proposed changes at Monday's meeting with Chairman Tyrone Foster, explaining that it may be the right thing to do, but I don't personally feel comfortable voting on something where I don't know all the answers. Perhaps he should consult with Nancy Pelosi, who famously advocated voting for Obamacare despite not having a clue what the law would entail. It appears that the school board cares more about the district than many on Capitol Hill care about the future of our nation.
Yeah. Interesting, huh?
Huh. They probably have to get health care for them.
Depends.
Well, they didn't say
why. Well, they have to work. If you work like 30 hours or something a week, you don't have to. Anybody, like if you get a full-time sub or something, then that's different.
Well, some school districts, like Boston, used to hire permanent subs.
Yeah, a lot of schools hire permanent subs, but they also hire other subs, you know.
But in hiring permanent subs and not hiring teachers, they're taking advantage of the permanent subs and not giving them benefits and that kind of thing.
That's true. Vivican, starting with homeless happening now.
Hmm.
That's interesting. Of course, look at this. Under the radar, in the prying eyes of the public, South Carolina made it legal to get rid of their homeless problems. The people were given a choice: FEMA camps or jail. Imagine that? The irony of it all was that this happened right at the 50th anniversary of civil liberties in August. The bad part of this different cities from Boston to New York are shipping off their homeless, and no one cares. Is this coming to a town near you? In August, the city of Columbia, South Carolina, had a problem. A festival honoring the 50th anniversary of civil rights movement was coming to town. They couldn't be seen with all the homeless when guests arrived from their parts of the United States, so the city council held a vote and made homelessness a crime. The Columbia City Council unanimously approved the plan, creating special police patrols that would enforce quality of life laws involving loitering, public urination, and other crimes not necessarily restricted to the homeless population. Those officers would then offer the homeless a choice: go to jail for their homelessness or be shuffled to a 240-bed, 24-hour shelter in the outskirts of town, which they wouldn't be allowed to easily leave. That second option is in jail, mind you, because the homeless are being confined with the help of a local charitable organization. It's charitable incarceration, you see. The homeless can leave, but they need to set up an appointment and be shuttled by a van. Despite some news from the mainstream media and Glenn Beck, it looks like the city went out of their way to begin staffing the 240-bed, 24-hour razor wire-topped FEMA camp that was supposed to be used in case of a disaster, according to FEMA. Remember, these areas do not exist, according to the news media. However, the FEMA site has the plans and the implementations of them, and FEMA has even built them for cities such as Boston, Galveston, Houston, New York, Boston, New Orleans, and even Columbia. And strange for areas that don't exist. Well, South Carolina went through with the plans, and they even caught the attention of the ACLU. In order for the homeless to qualify for the temporary shelter, they would have to be one of the first 240 homeless to apply and would be able to leave except by shuttle. They even went out of their way to remove some of the benches around town so the homeless didn't get comfortable in a hotline to call if you spotted homeless people for the residences.
What?
But this is not, they set up a hotline.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not the only area making it a crime for being homeless. It turns out that since 2011, the city of Boston is moving its homeless out of the city into what they call home base near Salem, away from the city. People in South California are getting concerned about homeless disappearing off the streets. Most of the homeless in places like Sacramento are taken and driven out of town in tent cities of their own. They have made it a crime to be homeless and round them up and move them there. They are guarded and people have hotlines to call if they spot a homeless person. They ship them out and place them in these camps. They are not permitted to leave and they are not permitted to wander the streets of the bigger cities without a permit. If that is not a determined camp, I don't know what is. And they are moving to make it a crime to be homeless in Miami as well. Where are they putting the people from these roundups? The city of Columbia was quick to recant their law at the end of September, but there are several other cities and states they still have not. And there are several individuals that have warned over the years to people that this would happen. If we do not find humanity in our hearts, when does the madness stop? This is almost like the 1940s roundup of the undesirables happening right before our very eyes. The only thing different is that this is the United States and not Germany. Now we have the cutting of EBT and food stamps by $5 billion, unemployment is continuing to skyrocket, and over 3.5 million homeless, with the numbers growing daily. We have 18.5 million vacant vacation homes and homes in Detroit being sold for a dollar. But we can't find places to house people other than FEMA camps. I think we all know what happens from here if we continue to let it. When the people of bigger cities wake up to find all the homeless have disappeared overnight, you actually know where they are. The question is, are you next?
Mm-hmm. Pretty scary.
Yeah. let's just see what this is. Being homeless in Miami is soon will be a crime.
Hmm. Now, in Miami, Florida, one city commissioner wants to make quality of life offenses illegal. This would make things like sleeping on a park bench, eating on sidewalks, or congregating in public spaces all crimes. This would, in effect, criminalize homelessness. Now, in a 1998 agreement known as Pottinger v. the City of Miami, police officers were instructed not to arrest homeless people, but instead to offer them a bed in a nearby homeless shelter. But that could all change if City Commissioner Mark Sarnoff gets his way. Joining me now to discuss further is RT correspondent Nicholas O'Donovan. Hi, Nicholas. How are you doing today?
Hi there. How are you doing, Erin?
Good. Now, can you expand on the homelessness issue in Miami? How bad is it really?
Well, it's definitely big, as in many large cities around the nation. Well, downtown Miami is one of those places where you can see homeless people sleeping in the doorways of luxury office buildings. That's the reality. And in 2010, the Miami-Dade County estimated that there was something around 4,500 and 5,000 people living on the streets in the city. But some statistics say the number has radically gone down to around 350, but that's because they don't consider the people sleeping in shelters as homeless. Basically, homeless people from all over the U.S. are attracted to Florida for two reasons. One is not going to change, it's the weather. And two, well, they had some sort of security that they would not be arrested by police if they're not doing anything illegal. And that's something that could change in the future. And as I say, many of the homeless people came to Florida from different parts of the U.S. because the weather makes it less difficult for them to live on the streets. But I have spoken to some of the homeless people, and they were very surprised by the treatment they received by law enforcement officers here in Florida. Here is what they had to say to us.
I figured I would come out here for a month, and when I got out here, I was in for quite a shock at what we go through out here. Data with the police department is unbelievable. We know they're the ultimate authority, and at any time that they can, you know, right now they can get me for trespassing, loitering. If I say something back, it's disorderly conduct. There's three charges off the bat for just standing here.
Nicholas, if these quality of life laws are implemented, what will that mean for the homeless in Miami? Will they go straight to jail?
Well, they call it the Sunshine State, but homeless people down here in Miami, well, they could spend some time in the shade just because they don't have a home to live in. Well, because, yes, if this proposal by Commissioner Mark Sarnoff goes ahead, the homeless people in Miami could find themselves thrown into jail and their possessions confiscated if they're caught engaging in certain everyday activities in public spaces, activities such as eating or sleeping. Basically, many homeless people feel they just can't live, and it's just impossible for them to live freely. I spoke to Jeff Weinberg, an activist for the rights of the homeless people, and this is what he said to me.
If you're homeless, you have to sleep somewhere. Okay, you have to survive by some means, and if you're going to criminalize those activities, basically you're saying to those people, you can't even exist.
Now, have you noticed a growth in the homeless population in Miami in recent years?
Well, it's difficult to say. I mean, it's obviously downtown is packed with homeless people, and obviously the economic crisis has hit hard everybody here. But what I do see now is the type of homeless people is definitely changing. I mean, the stereotype is a male in his 40s or probably 50s with some history of alcohol or drug abuse. Well, now there's changes. Now we see more women. We see more families. We see more children on the streets, people that have lost their homes, their jobs, even their cars. So now many of these people, who in many cases, by the way, will have a clean record, could end up in jail.
Now, what if I were in Miami and I decided to have a picnic in, say, a public park, and that would mean I'd be eating and congregating in public spaces. Now, would that be considered offensive, and could I be arrested?
Well, you're still very safe and very welcome to have a picnic down here in Miami, Erin, but obviously, you don't have to stay overnight, and that being said, probably I shouldn't handle you over a sandwich. Why? Well, say, for instance, in the city of Fort Lauderdale, just a few miles north from Miami, they have installed a ban on panhandling, and they use a very clear and direct slogan, don't contribute to the problem. Here in Miami, for instance, there's a ban on overnight camping in public spaces. This ban, by the way, was also viewed as an attack on the Occupy movement. So, yes, you can still have a picnic. It's obviously more difficult than in other cities because it's always to the officers. Well, they decide, really. So it's up to you. I invite you, though.
Now, in 2012, over Labor Day weekend, an attack on a homeless man in Miami, it made national headlines because the victim was so severely wounded by a crazed citizen that his face was literally eaten. It became known as the Miami zombie attack. However, it was the homeless man who was attacked, not the other way around. What does this say about the issue of violence in the home for homeless people in Miami?
Well, as you say, it was a massive case nationwide, and even though in the beginning, well, in the first moments, now everybody talked about a homeless-on-homeless kind of incident, well, we later knew that it was actually the homeless person that was attacked by a non-homeless person. Well, people, we tend to stigmatize or stereotype the homeless community as a violent one, but in many cases, it's just the contrary. It's them that are being attacked. If you pick Miami, and specifically Miami Beach, there have been, well, many cases of drunken tourists, young people attacking or abusing homeless people just for the fun of it. And definitely, what can I say? It's just not looking good for the homeless community down here in Miami, Erin.
Well, thank you, Nicholas. That was RT correspondent Nicholas O'Donovan.
Pretty sad, folks. I mean, it's really very sad.
Horrible. They're already down. Why do you have to kick them more?
Yeah. This is your FEMA Camp Roundup has begun. Designate the Postmaster General to operate a national registration of homeless persons.
Maybe that's what those dots are about.
The city's homeless problem, however, is worse now than ever, according to a new report, which says that nearly 115,000 people went homeless last year, including nearly 40,000 children.
That's in New York City.
Coalition for the Homeless Workers lay the blame squarely at the feet of Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
He replaced the federal programs with a series of time-limited subsidies that give you only 1 or 2 years of housing assistance and then cut you off, even if the family is too poor to afford the apartment rent. And so as a result of that, lots of families are ending up making a return trip through the city shelter system. It's indisputable that we've got more homeless people now.
That the shelters are overpacked because people are losing their jobs. They're going from their apartments to homes to the city shelters. People that don't take the services, they don't know about them.
Among the many predictions about this recession, one has consistently proven to be true. Forecasters have said unemployment will continue to rise, and it has. Today, the government reported another 467,000 jobs lost in June, taking unemployment to 9.5%, and that's the highest level in more than a quarter century.
That was June 2009.
Fourth now.
The rising unemployment raises questions about the economic stimulus, which was supposed to create jobs.
Since the recession began, 6.5 million Americans have lost their jobs. The unemployment rate has nearly doubled. An unusual turn of events involving a Vero Beach homeless man who was attacked on camera.
It's the disturbing video gone viral. A homeless man in Vero Beach, sucker punched by a man, filmed by another man, then posted to Facebook.
Advocates for the homeless say this is actually more common than you think, that slapping the homeless for money is sort of a game.
They recently just passed the law. They made it a law. It is criminal in the city of Columbia, South Carolina, to be homeless. And they are actually arresting the homeless and shipping them to encampment centers. I mean, this is stated in an article on the Huffington Post. And
amazing. Give us the headline, because that's big. If they're making them go there, that's the beginning of the camps, and is what the Emergency Centers Establishment Act says they would condition people, because at first it'll just be poor people, and then it'll be everybody. What's going on is working poor, where families are living 10 to a house, and now June 21 is trying to ban that.
For the past 8 years, Dan Duvall has run a sober living center for about 30 homeless people on his 72-acre ranch.
in California, a 66-year-old man was jailed Monday after being accused of illegally housing homeless people on his ranch in San Luis Obispo.
Would you like to see all the executive orders that have been put into place to take over our nation? Have complete control over us? To take away our rights, round us up, and put us where they want us. Here we go. Executive Order 10990 allows the government to take over all modes of transportation and control of all highways and seaports. Executive Order 10995 allows the government to seize and control the communication media. Executive Order 10997 allows the government to take over all electrical power, gas, petroleum, fuels, and minerals. Executive Order 10998 allows the government to seize all means of transportation, including personal cars, trucks, or vehicles of any kind, and total control over highways, seaports, and waterways. Executive Order 10999 allows the government to take over all food resources and farms. Executive Order 11000 allows the government to mobilize civilians into work brigades under government supervision. Executive Order 11001 allows the government to take over all health, education, and welfare functions. Executive Order 11002 designates the Postmaster General to operate a national registration of all persons. Executive Order 11003 allows the government to take over all airports and aircraft, including commercial aircraft. Executive Order 11004 allows the Housing and Finance Authority to relocate communities, build new housing with public funds, designate areas to be abandoned, and establish new locations for populations. Executive Order 11005 allows the government to take over railroads, inland waterways, and public storage facilities. Executive Order 11051 specifies the responsibility of the Office of Emergency Planning and gives authorization to put all executive orders into effect in times of increased international tensions and economic or financial crisis. Executive Order 11310 grants authority to the Department of Justice to enforce the plans set out in executive orders, to institute industrial support, to establish judicial and legislative liaison to control all aliens, to operate penal and correctional institutions, and to advise and assist the president. Executive Order 11049 assigns emergency preparedness function to federal departments and agencies, consolidating 21 operative executive orders issued over a 15-year period. Executive Order 11921 allows the Federal Emergency Preparedness Agency to develop plans to establish control over the mechanisms of production and distribution of energy sources, wages, salaries, credit, and the flow of money in U.S. financial institution in any undefined national emergency. It also provides that when a state of emergency is declared by the President, Congress cannot review the action for 6 months. The Federal Emergency Management Agency has broad powers in every aspect of the nation. General Frank Salzito, chief of FEMA's Civil Security Division, stated in a 1983 conference that he saw FEMA's role as a new frontier in the protection of individual and governmental leaders from assassination and of civil and military installations from sabotage and or attack, as well as prevention of dissident groups from gaining access to U.S. opinion or a global audience in times of crisis. FEMA's powers were consolidated by President Carter to incorporate the National Security Act 1947 that allows for strategic relocation of industries, services, government, and other essential economic activities, and to rationalize the requirements for manpower, resources, and production facilities. The 1950 Defense Production Act gives the President sweeping powers over all aspects of the economy. The Act of August 29, 1916 authorizes the security of the Army in time of war to take possession of any transportation system from transporting troops, material, or any other purpose related to the emergency. The International Emergency Economic Powers Act enables the President to seize the property of a foreign country or national.
These powers were transferred to FEMA in a sweeping consolidation in 1979. There you have it. Everything is set into place. They've begun throwing the poor, the homeless, into the prison camps, the FEMA camps. Now they have left to do is take the guns.
Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in.
It's a terrible thing, guys. It really is, you know. It really is. And, Obama said, Nobel Prize winner Barack Obama says, I'm really good at killing people.
I can see that from the second.
He said that.
Mm-hmm. He's very proud of it.
This book, Obama denies that he made a promise that was videotaped 24 times. Despite more than 24 video recordings showing otherwise, Obama said he never promised Americans they'd be able to keep their own policies. That is true. This unbelievable lying trip. Despite more than 24 video recordings showing otherwise, President Obama said that he never promised Americans they'd be able to keep their health care plans under the Affordable Care Act. Speaking to supporters in Washington on Monday, Obama claimed that in the past, he said, you could keep your plan if it hasn't changed since the law was passed. However, the Daily Caller reports that there are at least 29 videos showing the president leaving out the crucial words, if it hasn't changed. Instead, the unambiguously stated numerous times that if you like your health care plan, you will be able to keep your health care plan, period. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And recently, however, the Daily Caller, recently the Wall Street Journal, reported that some White House officials are worried about making such a play, but that ultimately the administration decided to move forward with it. Simplification and ease of explanation were a premium, and that was true throughout the process. And, here's something. Here's Mr. Obama saying exactly what they were saying. Will you be able to keep your health care plan?
We will keep this promise to the American people. If you like your doctor, you will be able to keep your doctor, period. If you like your health care plan, you will be able to keep your health care plan, period. First of all, if you've got health insurance, you like your doctor, you like your plan, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan. Nobody is talking about taking that away from you.
No matter what you've heard, if you like your doctor or health care plan, you can keep it. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your private health insurance plan, you can keep your plan.
Period.
If you are among hundreds of millions of Americans who already have health insurance through your job, or Medicare, or Medicaid, or the VA, nothing in this plan will require you or your employer to change the coverage of the doctor you have. Let me repeat this. Nothing in our plan requires you to change what you have. Our approach would preserve the right of Americans who have insurance to keep their doctor and their plan.
But the President Obama is telling the truth?
No. I don't think so.
No, he's a lying sack of crap.
Well, he's not lying. He's just not really saying anything.
He lied, Lila. What do you mean he's not saying anything? Don't start being one of them. Instead of being an administration lackey.
You're not listening, Leo. You always criticize without listening.
We are lackey.
I'm not.
You're becoming an Obama lackey.
Stop it. He's using elusive language and backtrack.
That's not elusive. That's quite frankly, you know, you will not lose your plan. You will not lose your doctor.
What he didn't do, but he didn't develop it. What he didn't say was, Leo, just let me finish instead of cutting me off all the time.
Yeah, you sound like Obama.
You don't let anybody finish, so you don't make an opinion before a person is finished.
Go ahead, Obama.
What he didn't say was that insurance companies will probably drop your plan because they don't meet the criteria.
Oh, gee, he forgot to say that. That's a lie. He's a liar. He's a big, fat liar. And he lied 29 times on video there, all right, saying that if you want your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you want your plan, you can keep your plan. Nothing will change under the Obama system.
Except that insurance companies will drop it off.
He's a liar.
He didn't say that part.
He didn't say it. You said it. I said it. You didn't say it because you're Obama baby, all right? I personally think the guy is a crook.
Stop name-calling and stop saying that.
But you haven't said it. The guy lied 29 times. We just heard it.
He didn't lie. He was elusive. He didn't tell the complete truth. Let me put it that way.
You are so
which is
Obama
a,
baby.
I'm not, but I don't even like that plan.
Yeah, but you're giving him an out.
I'm just saying
he's elusive.
He played with language and he knew exactly.
The nuance.
Leo, he knew exactly what he was doing and I didn't like it.
He knew what he was doing. He was lying to the people.
He was elusive.
What's elusive liar?
He wasn't a bold-faced liar.
He
was manipulative. It was a crime of omission.
It was a bold-faced lie.
It wasn't really.
Come on, he's a liar. He's been a prick liar since he was nominated, and he's a prick liar now. The guy's a lying, cheat son of a bitch.
I'm not saying that I like it. I'm just saying he didn't lie in the way that you're saying it.
You want to hear something horrible beyond belief? You want to hear the most
horrible? I thought I just did in the...
This is the most horrible thing I ever read.
The poor hobo, sir.
No, this goes way beyond that. Cop sodomizes a man for traffic stop. Then gets even more terrifying. This thing is so unbelievable. You can't even believe this. I'm going to read this. Because David Eckert was shopping at Walmart, and upon leaving, he rolled through a stop sign. He could have never imagined the living nightmare that was about to experience. When Eckert got out of his vehicle, the police thought that he appeared to be clenching his buttocks. What followed was nothing short of torture and rape. This poor man was driven to the first hospital, which refused to do the bidding of the police on grounds of ethics, but the second hospital did not.
I wonder where this was.
This was in, where was it? Was it Florida? It was Florida. This poor man was driven to, did not. According to the report, Eckert was x-rayed, and nothing was found. Then doctors anally penetrated Mr. Eckert. Nothing was found. For a second time, Mr. Eckert's anus was penetrated. All the while he was refusing to consent, again, nothing was found. After the x-ray and the two penetrations, doctors proceeded to insert an enema into Mr. Eckert's anus, and he watched in horror and disbelief as doctors searched through his stool. And however, for these sickos, it was still not enough. Eckert was even given a second enema, and then a third. Still nothing was found. He was then given a second x-ray. Nothing was found. He was then prepped for surgery. Yes, surgery. And Mr. Eckert was given a colonoscopy, and his intestines were searched. Still, no drugs were found. Mr. Eckert refused to give consent throughout this entire ordeal at the hospital, and the police, in their sadistic manner, cried for more and more, and the Gila Regional Medical Center was even threatened Mr. Eckert for refusing to pay for his own rape. Can you imagine that? Every single person involved with sodomizing and the rape of Mr. Eckert deserves to be in prison. The doctor, the police, the nurses, everyone. There is no amount of compensation that could ever repair the damage that something like this can do to a person. This should spark outrage simply because they wear a badge does not mean they can treat people worse than animals. Share the story and make sure that everyone knows these what those monsters did. Okay, and here's a little video just to prove that it happened. I talked to his lawyer from AFL-CIO.
It started out as a minor traffic stop, but the next 14 hours would turn into a humiliating violation of a New Mexico man's body by police
New
and
Mexico.
Doctors.
For On Your Side investigator Chris Ramirez found a case that had us asking, is law enforcement in one community going way too far? A warning, the contents of the story are not suitable for children.
It's absolutely a nightmare.
Shannon Kennedy is a civil rights attorney, and when you hear this story, you'll understand why a New Mexico man called her for help.
I mean, it's absolutely unimaginable that this could happen in America.
Here's the story. Lordsburg resident David Eckerd was shopping at this Walmart in Deming. When he left the parking lot, he didn't make a complete stop at the stop sign as he merged into traffic. Police stopped him. What happens next is documented in medical reports, police reports, and now a federal lawsuit.
They say that when he stepped out of his car, he was standing in a manner that looked as if he was clenching his buttocks.
That's right. Suddenly, this was no longer a minor traffic stop. It was an investigation into Eckert's buttocks. Police note that a drug dog alerted to a possible odor of drugs on Eckert's car seat. And so, police concluded Eckert might be hiding drugs in his anal cavity. The report showed Deming police held Eckert in custody while they secured a warrant signed by a judge allowing a search of his anal cavity. A lawsuit states police took him to the Deming emergency room at Members Hospital, but a doctor there told police he wouldn't perform the search because it was ethically wrong. Next stop, the Gila Regional Medical Center in Silver City, where doctors there agreed to help. And here's where things go badly for Eckert, very badly. According to court records and medical charts, first, doctors x-rayed Eckert, then penetrated his rectum with their fingers, then performed another exam with their fingers. Doctors then gave Eckert 3 enemas and forced him to defecate in front of them while they searched his stool. All of these things done without consent, all of them finding nothing. But it didn't stop there. Doctors performed a second x-ray. Then they sedated Eckert, prepared him for surgery, and performed a colonoscopy. This animation shows how far the scope goes as it travels through the anus, rectum, colon, and into the intestines. Eckert protested each medical procedure.
The thought that they could do this to a man in our country is terrifying. I mean, our community should be outraged, and the public has a right to know about this so that they are aware when they're traveling through that part of our state to be careful. And to be on guard.
There's a line right here, and it's important because this line separates Luna County from Grant County. One more time, because it's important. Luna County, Grant County. It's important because this search warrant was only good in Luna County, but all those medical procedures happened over here in Grant County. We took all of this to the chief of Deming Police.
In terms of just being able to sit down and just chat for a few minutes, would you have a couple of minutes right now to do that?
No, sir. Anything pertaining to that specific case, we're going to refer you all to Tony Ortiz, our attorney in Santa Fe.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah, we can contact him.
Okay.
You know, just one question. As the police chief of Deming, what reassurances could you give people that when they come through your town, that they're not going to be abused or violated by your police officers?
We follow the law in every aspect and follow the procedures and protocols that we have in place.
And do you think, in your own opinion, as the chief of police here, do you think that those officers in this particular case did that?
Sir, I'm going to refer that one to the attorney as well due to the ongoing litigation, okay?
In an email, Tony Ortiz wrote, he won't comment, but added that the city of Deming will prevail in this matter. Now, you might expect administrators here at Gila Regional Medical Center to defend their doctors, maybe even defend patient care here. Turns out they're not. Instead, they're issuing me a no comment, saying that this is a pending litigation matter, and they're not going to comment on it.
And this is like something out of a science fiction film. Anal probing by government officials and public employees?
But let's talk about your client today. We were supposed to meet with your client, and then at the last minute, he backed out of our interview. How come?
He's terrified. He's absolutely terrified. He's living in a community where police are able to harass people traveling through this community and people who live there, basically unchecked.
It started with a minor traffic violation, and you may think it ended with 8 anal medical procedures, but there's one more thing. The Gila Regional Medical Center billed Eckert for those procedures and is even threatening to take him to collection if he doesn't pay. Chris Ramirez, for
insult to injury.
Isn't that horrible? That was the most horrible thing I've heard in years. I can't believe.
And then to try to get you to pay for these.
And then these bastards, I hope they sue this guy. I hope this guy can sue him for $1 billion, close down the medical facility, close down the police department, convict him, put those bastards in jail. I mean, this is karma hell. This is unbelievable. Oh, on a light note, George W. Bush is moving to our neck of the woods.
Well, we don't know that for sure. That
well, I thought you told me that was true.
I said it was a rumor. I didn't
what
say
rumor
was...
is that? My God, I sent it out over the Facebook wires and everywhere, and I'm announcing it tonight. George W. Bush is planning a new painting series, and we can't wait. This is by Huffington Post.
Hmm.
He's painting dogs. That's right.
Dogs with paint?
I have no idea.
Or painting pictures of dogs?
Pictures. U.S. President, former and current watercolor enthusiast George W. Bush is back in the easel. At the easel. Finally, shouted everyone who's been obsessed with W.'s not-so-secret love of painting dogs, cats, and bizarre self-portraits. In a recent exit interview from the former director of Bush's Public Policy Institute, James Glassman, under the president, under 43. I wonder if that's a friend. James Glassman, president, number 43, let it slip that he's planning a new painting series, turning his artistic eye from the world of fury, four-legged creatures to the more complex realm of political figures. New York Times report. And an early self-portrait from the shower, and then dozens of paintings of dogs and cats, Mr. Bush, it seems, has now moved on to world leaders.
Hmm.
He told Glassman that he wanted to produce portraits of 19 presidents and prime ministers he worked with during his time in the White House. Bush has wowed us with the contemporary personal hygiene theme.
Contemplative.
I don't care. Bush. And first revealed to the world thanks to the hacker named Guccifer, but a series of political portraits of vintage statesmen. That's upping the ante quite considerably. You can read that, please.
While we all mull over the idea that GDW is quickly becoming one of our favorite outsider artists, men who have once commanded our nation's military category, it can't hurt to venture a guess as to which international allies Bush will choose to paint. Behold our 19 guesses for the up-and-coming series. Vladimir Putin. They both entered and exited offices around the same time and enjoyed more than a few photo ops over the 8 years they simultaneously served as heads of state. Plus, Vladimir Vladimirovich did recently wish Mr. Bush a speedy recovery after his heart surgery. Why not return the sentiment with a portrait? Vincente Fox,
Gordon Brown, Ariel Sharon. Of course, Ariel Sharon is he still alive? He's been in a coma for like 5 years,
yeah.
10 years. Okay. Bush and former Prime Minister put in a lot of FaceTime throughout the early 2000s and negotiating peace agreements with whatnot. Could a portrait be in their future?
Angela Merkel.
Angela Merkel.
Remember the time Bush gave German Chancellor Merkel a neck massage?
Oh, yeah. And remember Nicolas Sarkozy?
Nicolas Sarkozy, the French toad. They were such good pals. Time wondered whether Bush and the former French president would start having regular sleepovers.
Yeah. And Silvio Berlusconi. Victor Yushchenko of Ukraine. I don't even know who this guy is. Junichiro Koizumi. Graceland together. They had to count for something, I guess.
Tony Blair.
Mohammed Abbas. Mohammed Zing. India, I guess.
Gehazi Marshall.
You can do that one. Yeah, good for you. Yeah, Saudi Arabia.
Stephen Harper.
Yeah,
Hamid Karzai.
Karzai.
King Abdullah II.
Yeah, he's a wonderful looking guy.
Hosni Mubarak.
Yeah.
Ellen Johnson Sirleaf.
Libyan president, Liberian president. Yeah, okay, And we're running out of world leaders who fancy Bush as president, throwing a bone to the former Chinese leader.
Hu Jintao.
Is that his name?
Hu Jintao.
Hu Jintao. Anyway. Funny stuff, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Funny stuff.
When you said painting, I thought he was pouring paint on his dog to cat. But
I know.
That's how little I look at him.
He ain't. Anyway.
Hard to believe that he's an artist.
I know. What can I tell you? Kanye West explains why he's embarrassing.
Embracing
the Confederate flag.
On tour.
Yeah. I said, he's got the Kim Kardashian disease.
Oh.
He just married her, I think, or had a baby with her. Debbie Wasserman shows nothing Obama or I said about Obamacare was not true. She's a whore. I don't care. I like this lady. I do like Jen Brewer. She's the Arizona governor.
Oh.
And I'm proud to announce that Apple Inc. will be expanding into Arizona and creating more than 2,000 jobs in engineering, manufacturing, and construction. Apple will have an incredibly positive economic impact in Arizona. Its decision to locate here speaks volumes about the friendly, pro-business climate I'm creating as governor. Either she's using a whole lot of illegal aliens, or maybe she got people really decent jobs. I don't know. Because Apple was using Chinese slave labor for years.
They're probably doing it in all their camps where they have the prisoners on
Maybe. That's not a bad idea. But you got to love her. I don't care. She owes it Obama. And let's see, we got Limbaugh. Obamacare has become the biggest presidential lie in our lifetimes. Rush babies. But Limbaugh also said, when someone attacks Sarah Palin, they're attacking me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see
so
what
much
he,
for him.
Well, let's see what he says about Obama. Well, let's have him talk about it himself.
I don't
want to
play him on our show.
True. But he says Obama's a big liar.
Well, he's right about that, probably.
He's right. Oh, GOPs are preventing millions of low-income people from getting diabetic medicine.
Nice.
Okay. How GOP governors are preventing millions of low-income diabetic Americans from getting medical care. Don't you love these guys?
Mm. November is American Diabetes Month. Nearly 26 million U.S. children and adults have the disease, and an additional 79 million Americans are either pre-diabetic or at risk for developing type 2 diabetes. The Affordable Care Act represents a crucial opportunity to extend health coverage to these Americans, particularly the low-income and minority groups that are disproportionately afflicted by diabetes. But GOP governors who have refused Obamacare's Medicaid expansion are undermining the potential progress, leaving millions of poor diabetics without easy access to care. Since the disease is particularly concentrated among the poor, Medicaid accounts for an outside portion of medical spending on diabetes. In fact, the program covered 15% of all individuals with the disease in 2003. The latest
year for which accurate data is available, helping these sick and low-income patients afford ongoing care and treatment like insulin and preventative screening.
Kaiser Family Foundation research also contend that a large number of people earning up to 183% of the federal poverty, 138% of the federal poverty level, who are eligible for Medicaid coverage in states participating in Obamacare's expansion of the program, likely have prediabetes or undiagnosed diabetes and therefore would benefit from basic health coverage. But the diabetic and poor in states without Medicaid expansion won't be so lucky. In November 2012 study, the Kaiser Foundation found that diabetics who are uninsured are significantly less likely to have a regular source of medical care, to have had a checkup in the past 2 years, or to have access to necessary medical care.
So even worse, these medically needed and uninsured Americans are forced to pay significantly higher out-of-pocket medical costs in order to manage their disease. KFF estimates that diabetics with Medicaid coverage paid an average of $177 out of their own pockets compared to the $1,498 paid by the uninsured with diabetes. Unfortunately, many of the governors who have refused Medicaid expansion preside over states with the highest diabetes rates in the country, including Mississippi, South Carolina, Louisiana, Alabama, Tennessee, Oklahoma, and North Carolina. Those seven states all have high rates of poverty and diabetes diagnosis rates well above the national average. And without Medicaid expansion, low-income diabetics living with these red states don't have many good options. So, folks, if you live in any of those states, get the hell out of that. You get diabetes, and you live in those states, get out of there.
It would be anything, really. Not only diabetes. It's just an example.
Oh, well. Here's a good one. $5 billion from food stamps program were cut today, but the Congress approved $488 million in aid to Israel instead. Latino voters are helping to decide major races on Tuesday, especially with Chris Christie. Wonderful, don't you think? I think they're so stupid. These people are so damn stupid. Amazing. Chris Christie would cut you like a sieve, you know what I mean? Cut your benefits, cut everything. This is kind of interesting. This guy got breached his Obamacare stuff. It's kind of complicated though. But the guy got all his stuff stolen from Obamacare when he went to Obamacare. So he grabbed all his stuff.
Grabbed what?
All of his personal information.
He got
screwed. Unbelievable. This is an interesting figure. If you want to see it. We'll leave the show tonight with this. But it says, unemployment. If we measured unemployment the way we did during the 1930s, today's unemployment would be worse than any single year of the Great Depression.
Wow.
Okay. 1931 equaled 15.3%. 2009 equaled 21%. 1932 equaled 22.9% unemployment. 2010 equaled 22%. 1933 equaled 20.6%. 2011 equaled 22%. And 1934 equaled 16% unemployment. 2012 equaled 23%. That's based on, they're basing it on the same
measurement.
Yeah. And just think of all the people who are now part-time who should be full-time due to government regulations.
We seem to be going in the wrong, we're going in the wrong direction. You notice it's going up 21, 22.
Oh, yeah. It's up over the Great Depression for quite a while. Isn't it?
No, but every year it's going up. They keep telling us it's better, it's worse.
No, I know. It's ridiculous. No, they lie to you. They continually lie. But anyway, that's the end of our show tonight. I want to thank everybody for joining us. And join us tomorrow night when we talk about more of this stuff. And we bring about some union news and other things that are important for the world to know.
Good night, folks.
Hi, everybody.
And talk to you tomorrow.